come to the table this morning in part to celebrate forgiveness. In Ephesians chapter 1 and in verse 7, speaking of Jesus, Paul writes, "In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished on us." And so as we remember this morning the sacrificial death of Jesus, we ponder how that makes possible the forgiveness of our sins. We celebrate that. And yet I feel saying that is so inadequate, because there is so much more to that grand idea, forgiveness. For example, God is willing to forgive any sin. We talked last Sunday about how we don't always feel that way. Sometimes we imagine that there are things we do that are just so terrible that God would never forgive us, and that just isn't true. The cleansing he supplies is complete. When God forgives, the sin is gone. I think we struggle with that because we are not always so inclined when we forgive. But in Romans 5, Paul celebrates that because we are clean before God, we can be reconciled to him. That's how gone our sins are. And he'll do that for anybody. It's not just some special class, some select group. Any penitent sinner can be forgiven. That's why the message of the gospel was for everybody, because everyone has the opportunity. In fact, it isn't just that God is willing. He's eager. I think that's one of the messages of the prodigal son, Luke 15. Father does not reluctantly receive back the son. He's thrilled that his son is coming home. So, we gather at the table to celebrate all the facets of that amazing truth. God forgives. What I'd like you to ponder before we partake today, though, is that the messages of the cross are not limited to this moment. I talked about that the last time I did these reflections. That very often the lessons we're meant to ponder here extend beyond the moment and are designed to impact life. And I think that is certainly true when we talk about forgiveness. I think that God doesn't just want us to think about that on Sundays as we eat the bread and drink the cup. I think he wants that lesson to pulsate through all of life and all of relationships. If you go a little further in Ephesians to chapter 4, for the sake of time, let me just pick up in verse 29. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Paul writes, "Let no unwholesome word proceed from your mouth, only such a word as is good for edification according to the need of the moment, so that it will give grace to those who hear. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tender-hearted." Watch him now. Forgiving each other. And then you see the last phrase, right? Just as God in Christ has forgiven you. You see it? Paul takes the cross and he works it into life. This thing that God did for you in Christ, he said, you do that for each other in life. Be kind and tenderhearted and forgiving. Moving ahead to the book of Colossians in Colossians 3, you see that exact same idea. Colossians 3 and verse 12. So as those who have been chosen of God, holy and beloved, watch him now, put on a heart of compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, bearing with one another, and forgiving each other, whoever has a complaint against anyone. And then there's that last phrase, just as the Lord forgave you, so also should you. Same thing he does in Ephesians. He borrows the cross and he brings it to life. You were forgiven. You need to forgive. There is logic to that, isn't there? God has been extraordinarily gracious to me and you. We had that awful debt that he just wiped away by the blood of his son. How can we not be inspired by that example to be gracious and merciful toward other people? In fact, in Matthew 18, there's a whole parable about that. In the segment where Jesus talks at length about the subject of forgiveness, he tells this parable. You remember this story about this guy that had a huge debt? An unpayable debt? And he goes to the master and pleads with the master, and instead of giving him more time, he gives him forgiveness. He said, I'll just take the debt away. Forgive it. Been a great story, except that forgiven slave turns around and finds someone who owes him a much smaller amount of money and demands payment and locks him up when he's unable. Verse 32 of Matthew 18 summarizes that story. Then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all that debt because you pleaded with me. Now watch verse 33. Should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave in the same way I had mercy on you? Do you see it? There was a logic to that. You were forgiven much. How could you not be forgiving? And so verse 34, his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should repay all that was owed him. And in case anybody should not see what it was that Jesus was trying to say, in verse 35, he makes it clear, my heavenly Father will also do the same to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. It is an insult to what we do week by week at this table and what all of that is all about to walk away and to be unforgiving in our relationships with others. And so as we come to the table this morning, let's celebrate that we can say today, through the blood of Jesus, we have been forgiven. And carry away the powerful reminder that because that is true, in life, we should be like the God we serve. We should be moved to forgive.